Welcome to another In Wheel Time podcast, a 30-minute mini version of the In Wheel Time car show that airs live every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Central.
Welcome to the 2023 In Wheel Time car talk show. Just ahead, Ben Miller from the Houston Auto Show, or Automotive Show, and the Classic Car Exhibit. Later, Conrad will have the In Wheel Time Car Clinic, and we'll have this week's automotive news headlines. Howdy. Along with Mike Out of This World Mars, King Conrad DeLong, we need more Jeff Zekin. I'm Don Armstrong. Glad you could join us on the Saturday, and welcome to the In Wheel Time Car Talk Show. This is our last segment of this week's live program, and we thank you for joining us, and I think that you're going to enjoy our next guest. And he is Ben Miller with the Houston Auto Show Classic Car Exhibit. Ben, it's been a couple of years, I guess, since we've talked to you. How have you been?
I've been good. How about you?
Well, we've been very well, thank you. We are looking forward to this year's Automotive Show, and I know that you play a part in that because basically you walk in the door and the cars that you've gathered together are the first thing that you see.
Yes, sir.
So little bit of background. Ben, are you an auto guy?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So do you own any classic cars? Because you certainly have the connection with everybody in the classic car field in the Houston area.
Yes, sir. We, my dad and I, we actually started collecting cars back we got the first car whenever I was 13. And then since then we just started buying cars, and then I started buying some on my own. So I think we've got 8 or 9.
Okay. Are any of your cars in this classic car exhibit?
No, I was telling Mike yesterday, I've got a full roster this year. So if I have a full roster of cars that aren't mine, I would rather put those in than put one of mine in, because usually when I get done with the show on Sunday, I want to go home, and I really don't want to pull a trailer behind me. So.
So yours are the backup for this, the vehicles that you own personally.
If it gets close enough to the show, yes, sir. Because I was telling Mike yesterday whenever I talked to him, whenever it gets to a point where it's really close to the show, like now, I mean, it's just, you know, Monday is when we're moving in.
Right.
To get the signs ready and some of the stuff, it's just way too close to put someone else in to get everything ready.
You know, you said you purchased some, you and your father. Where do you purchase them from? Independent sellers or auctions? How do you get your vehicles for your collection?
So we've done both, but from what I've seen, it's probably better to buy them from an individual. At an auction, it's kind of a
iffy.
It can be a 50-50. Is
the car really what they represent it to be?
Yes, sir. I know quite a few guys down here where I live. I live in the Kima area, and that they actually restore cars, and I've seen some bad, they thought they were good cars, and then once you start digging into them.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, it just depends on what you're looking at, and if you know the car or if you don't know the car, you know.
So what kind of fun stuff are you bringing into the car show this year?
Well, it depends on what you like.
Well, we like everything, and yeah. We always love the collection. I mean, does it span the globe from Model Ts to the newest?
I don't have any Model Ts this year, but it basically ranges from my earliest car, which I've never seen one before. It's an Allard.
Oh,
okay.
An old Allard. So that'll be in the lobby. So basically, it'll range from that all the way up to, of course, all the muscle cars. You know, probably my latest one is probably a 79. Everything else is pretty much pretty much 79 and below.
So will you be at the show bell to bell the whole time, or are you just kind of wander in, wander out?
Well, people ask me whenever I accept people for move-in, they ask, well, will you be there on Monday and Tuesday? And I said, well, if I'm not there, no one's going to know. The show office won't know what to do with y'all, you know, so I have to be there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Sometimes during the week, I'm not there. It just depends on what's going on. But for sure, the main days, and then I usually stick around on the weekend just to make sure the cars are okay and hang out.
Yeah, so there's static displays. You kind of dust them down with the duster and make sure that there's no dents or dings or people messing with the cars.
Correct. Yeah, as long as they don't get in the displays, that's not good.
So. Now you've actually done a very good job in the past of explaining what each car is, with the title card that's in the display with the car. You going to do that again this year?
Yes. So we'll have the signs made for them that'll have the year, make, and model, and then the owner. And then I always tell the owners it's better for them to have a signboard made or something if they want to go into even further detail. I've got a few, like I talked to a couple yesterday. This lady, she bought a 74 AMC Javelin brand new, and she's the original owner of the car. They bought it in Sherman, Texas. And so I asked her, I said, what made you buy the Javelin versus a Mustang or any of the other cars that would have been around then? And she said that her husband's mother, I guess, had a Javelin. And so that's what made her go that way. And she's had it forever, you know, still today. Hmm. And there's actually a few other cars that I've got that there's a lady bringing a 70 Charger RT 440 car that's plum crazy purple, and she's the second owner. She bought it in 1973. Huh. So there's some cool almost either original owners or almost original owners.
How do you find these people?
You just have to go to car shows and find them, or if someone shows with me, and I always tell them whenever they show with me, if you have another car, or if you have a friend that has a car and you think that it would fit well in the display, then tell them to get a hold of me, and I'll see if it'll work, you know? And so that's kind of how it's either car shows or meeting someone and then meeting someone else. It's kind of like a roll of the dice.
So they're responsible for bringing their own vehicle in. You tell them where to set it up. They put the stanchions, the signage. So it's pretty much their responsibility once they get in the show.
So pretty much all they have to do is bring the car up there. And then once they bring the car up there, we have carpet and stanchions that go around mm-hmm. it. And the auto show actually supplies that around the car. So all they really have to do is bring the car, and they're good to go.
It's not like the Autorama where they have to bring their own display and set it all up.
Correct.
For one thing, uh-huh. you don't know if they even have that.
Correct. Yeah. Most people don't. I have one from whenever I showed at Autorama, but most people don't have displays like that.
Well, displays are bulky. They're hard to move around. And you pretty much have to have kind of like a support travel car exactly. to go with you to yeah. haul all that stuff.
And you got to yeah. have a place to store it when yeah. you're not using it.
Yeah.
When I showed at Autorama, we had an enclosed trailer that we'd bring the car up in. And then we had it pretty much set up where on the one side we had some racks there. So we put the carpet up on the rack, and then and it was secured. And then the stanchions, we'd either load them in the trailer or I would pull my truck around. But it's changed a little bit because there's not as much parking out front in front of George R. Brown now. So
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, can I can walk into the NRG Center before I go into the actual car show. So if I pay for parking, I could go in there and see the cars, your cars.
You can see a quarter of them, maybe.
Really? So what's changed? Because it used to be all in the lobby out there.
Yeah. Well, there's – I have not all of them are in the lobby. There's about three-quarters of them will be in Hall A. So if you wanted to, I mean, you could see some really cool cars in the lobby, but there's some other stuff inside Hall A that you – If you want to go see them, you got to pay. So,
got to pay to play.
Yeah.
What is your favorite car that you've wrangled into this display of yours?
Oh.
Besides the Allard. The Allard is very unique. I've seen one actually in person. Maybe the same car. I'm not sure. But they're a very rare automobile.
I don't know. It would probably depend on. If you were going like for muscle or for a custom, I've got some really good cars. I would say as far as a custom goes, I've got a killer, 1966 Chevy Suburban that's going to be there. And it's a full custom, build
panel.
So I would say that would be that, or I've got some really good muscle cars. There's a guy bringing a 69 Plymouth Roadrunner convertible that is beautiful. It's a beautiful restored it's restored back to original. It's a beautiful car. I've got a guy bringing a 66 GT350 Hertz. So there's some good cars that are going to be in Hall A.
Interesting. Well, we look forward to seeing the classic car exhibit, some of them out in the hall, the rest of them in Hall A.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very good. Well, Ben, it's great to talk to you. Thank you. We look forward to seeing you at the car show. We'll be broadcasting live there next Saturday at special time from
10 to 1.
So look for us.
I might stop by and come see y'all.
Please do that. All right. Well, we'll see you then. Right. Take care of yourself.
All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Ben Miller.
He's got some great connections for some wonderful cars.
Yeah.
You know, if he's doing that by finding them at car shows, he's doing a very good job because he brings in some pretty cool cars.
He does.
And, you know, as a car guy and I've shown cars before, and I do cruise-ins, but it's not the same. I'll tell you that there's a certain bit of pride that you get by having your car shown at a show like this.
Oh, yeah. it adds to
some of
the pedigree of your car.
Exactly. And you get the pictures. Mm-hmm. And you can put that in your playbook, so to speak.
Yeah.
I went to this. I displayed the car.
The resume of the car.
Right. And when you go to sell it, if you sell it, it means a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that they're showing for trophies, but.
No. One of the guys that we talked to there at the Autorama, he stopped by and he was talking to us about the show and stuff. And he saw Ben's card on the table. And he was telling me, he was just tickled pink. He was showing out his truck that he had over there close to us about how Ben had picked him and asked him to be in this. And he was thrilled. I mean, it's just like you say. It's kind of an honor thing.
What would really score big is to get one of the Magnificent Seven from Autorama to display at the Houston Auto Show.
We'll leave that up to Ben. Ben, if you're still listening, get her done.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure he's shaking his head.
He's still on.
We cut him off.
He's working on that. Yeah.
Don't forget who suggested it.
Yeah. We want credit for writer's credit.
Yeah. Something. All right. Why don't we move on to Conrad's Car Clinic?
All right, cool.
I know that you've got something special for us today.
What are we working on?
Well, especially today, you know, since it was raining, you know, hydroplaning and what you can do if it happens while you're driving. Because, you know, I think most people can have experienced hydroplaning and hopefully they've reacted correctly. Because if you act incorrectly, round and round you go, bouncing off things you don't know. So,
That was good.
I know. That was nice.
He was a poet and didn't know it.
Wet roadways during the rain can create several risks for drivers, one of which is hydroplaning. Hydroplaning is when the car's tire actually loses contact with the road and begins to ride on top of the water. That sensation of losing traction can send drivers into a panic, but the drivers need to remain calm. When the car begins to hydroplane, the driver will feel a loss of their ability to steer and control the car. It's crucial for the driver not to try and steer the car in another direction or step on the brake pedal. Doing so could cause the car to get into a skid. The DMV advises drivers just to ease off the gas and let the car slow down by itself. And as it slows down, the tire will get back to the ground. And when it does, you get back to having traction. Drivers should then feel control of the car and return of the steering as the tires make contact with the road. There are various factors that contribute to a car's hydroplaning, such as the vehicle speed, the amount of rain, the tread on the tires. You know, hydroplaning is more likely to happen if the tire pressure is low or if the tread is worn down. The grooves in a tire are designed to carry water away from underneath the tire. Mm-hmm. And if those grooves are not deep, then the tire has a greater tendency to hydroplane. Cars at risk of hydroplaning when going 50 miles an hour. Cars are at risk of hydroplaning when they're going 50 miles an hour in a heavy rain, but it could even happen at speeds as low as 30 miles an hour if there's a significant amount of rain or a big puddle on the road. You know, you could be driving around in your neighborhood and hit a puddle in the road and the car will hydroplane. Yep. And you can feel that sensation of when it hydroplanes, but don't react. Just take your foot off the gas, let the vehicle slow down. Don't turn the wheel, don't jump on the brake, because you have no traction and it's not going to do anything beneficial. If anything, it can get you spinning.
Well, I will tell you, you know, the Corvette's got some pretty big wide meats on it.
Yep.
And that tends to actually contribute to what hydroplaning I do. And I don't find puddles to do it in, I can tell you that. But if it's raining pretty good on the tollway, on the freeway, doing freeway speeds, 50, 55 even, because when it's raining that hard, I typically slow down. Mm-hmm. And it will hydroplane in a New York second.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I do. Just let my foot off of the accelerator and just hang on.
Yep.
Don't turn the steering wheel. If it's going to go over to the emergency lane, I kind of let it drift over there, as long as there's not more water over there.
Or something,
of course. But most of the time, I get traction right back.
Yep.
Doesn't take long.
And then, of course, that's the design tires for the water channel in between the treads. And, of course, your sipes, depending on how deep those are, your tread blocks, depending on how they're configured, can wash water away from the center of the tire as well. But yeah, all those are good points.
But the wider the tire, the more water it has to displace.
You have more contact patch, the more contact patch on the road.
And that's why when you see them wave the yellow flag or the red flag at a car race, they're all on slicks. Mm-hmm. And slicks and water are not a good combination at all.
So again, if you start to hydroplane and you feel that disconnection to the road, don't react. Just take your foot off the gas and mm-hmm. let the vehicle slow down till you can feel the traction comes back, and then you can go ahead and react.
And yep. You can feel it. It's very distinct when it does come back.
Oh, yeah.
It'll almost
jerk you back.
Jerk, yeah.
Yep. Well, especially if your wheels turn the wrong direction and it jerks you back, then it's not good.
And hydroplaning is different than driving in a snowy area where you actually can spin out. So turning into the skid type thing, but that's totally different.
Right.
Have you ever heard of a white hat hacker?
No.
There's a white hat hacker and there's a black hat hacker.
The white hat guy is trying to do good things.
Is a good guy?
Well,
could be.
Car companies typically will hire white hat hackers. So they hire these guys to try to hack in to their computer system.
A preventative thing.
Uh-huh, preventative thing. They're kind of like consultants, if you will. Hey, you've got a weakness here. We need to beef that up, whatever the case. So this is kind of a story about that. It can be. It's too lengthy, and I tried to cut it down where it still made sense. But you'll get the point. A group of white hat hackers cracked customer and back-end operations of a variety of automakers, including BMW, Ferrari, Ford, Jaguar Land Rover, Mercedes-Benz, Porsche, and Rolls-Royce. The findings are a follow-up to the group's discovery late last year of flaws in SiriusXM's telematic service that created breaches in Honda, Hyundai, Nissan, and Toyota models. Latest round of vulnerabilities give the hackers access to detailed customer information and internal administrative functions that was not disclosed until earlier this month because of a self-imposed 90-day moratorium. That's according to Sam Curry, an Omaha, Nebraska security engineer, and he was telling Automotive News this. Ford, Mercedes-Benz, Reviver, and Spirion told Automotive News they have closed their breaches now. A person named Shira Sarid Harsirer, a vice president of marketing at Upstream Security. No, the Curry Group's hacks are akin to a home burglar robbing millions of homes at the same time as opposed to a single residence, this person said. Citing a report authored by Upstream, this person said said the number of automotive application programming interface attacks jumped 380% in 2022 over 2021. This came despite automakers using advanced information technology cybersecurity protections. All I'm saying to you is be wary of getting your car hacked into, because part of the story was some of these hackers hack in to your car, your make, your model, your VIN number, your car. Mm-hmm. They can do things like open the doors. They can start the car if it has a remote start feature.
Or shut it off.
Or shut it off, which is more scary. Mm-hmm. They can lock it so you can't get back into it. All of these things. And they're trying to prevent these things, but all these hackers are trying to get in there.
Now, well, I remember a number of years ago, Dodge and Ram, that made pretty big media about some hackers that had learned how to access their driver information center remote package.
There was that movie, Catch Me If You Can, about the kid that represented a lot of things in his life, airline pilot and so on and so on, that they actually hire the dark hackers or the black hat hackers to be the white hat hackers to show them what they did and how they get into it. So there's kind of a reverse role play in that as well.
Interesting. Got a couple of recalls to tell you about. Volvo steering wheel may lock up. In the V60cc, the XC60, and the XC90 from 2019 through 2022.
Uh-oh.
That ain't good, is it? Mm. And you know, the
Corvette list, went through that, too.
The list was short this week on the recalls.
Didn't the Cobalt do that, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, but for a Volvo, for their reputation as a safe vehicle, that's not a good thing.
Do you ever get any Volvos? I haven't had a Volvo in years.
Yeah.
I'm in the process of reworking all
the
of
new
that.
Ones are good looking. Good looking
vehicle.
Yeah,
I agree. Yeah. Here's one for you. 84-month auto loans have soared in popularity among new vehicles and more than doubled on used vehicles over the past 5 years, according to Credit Bureau data. As of the third quarter of 2022, one-fifth of all new vehicle borrowers and one-tenth of all used vehicle borrowers are committing to 7 years of debt on their vehicle, according to Experian.
Wow.
In the third quarter of 2018, only 11% of new vehicle borrowers and 4.1% of used vehicle borrowers were on the hook for 84 months, according to Experian. By the third quarter of 2022, 19% of new vehicle debt and 11% of used vehicle loans ran 7 years.
And the banks love it because the rates are going up and you're paying longer.
Well, they're paying longer and they're paying more on the interest rate. But, I mean, it's a different attitude for that generation.
Guy here at an auto group called 84-Month Loans, one of his company's auto mechanisms for reducing a customer's monthly payment. However, he said, the group was trying to steer customers away from 7-year loans. Ultimately, 84-month loans in no way serves the customer. Leaders at the Auto Finance Summit this fall had mixed opinions on the merit of 84-month loans. Don't do 84-month at Wells Fargo, according to Wells Fargo auto head Tanya Sanders.
Don't do anything at Wells Fargo.
Yeah, I was going to say the same.
Well, yeah, that's not the point. But the idea is this generation, they don't look at how am I going to pay this off, or am I going to pay it off before I owe more than what it's worth?
And what's the default rate?
Yeah,
what's the repo rate?
They just look at the monthly amount. The monthly
you
got to
think in a 60-month note, a 5-year note, you're 42 months before you're in an equity position.
Right. You're upside down.
At the best.
Until 42 months.
So in an 84 month, you're probably closer to 60, 66 months mm-hmm. before you're in an equity position.
I remember the day that you could only get a 3-year note. And I remember paying off those cars, and I'm going, I've only got two more payments to go.
Yeah.
And one more payment. And then all of a sudden you pay it off, and then you get your title in the mail.
The car breaks down.
Yeah. Then you went to the 48 month, and everybody, ooh.
Yeah, 48 month.
Then you get that phone call about your car warranty. You need a warranty for your car.
Extension.
Time now for a quick break here on the In Wheel Time Car Talk Show. We'll wrap things up right after this.
Some things just belong together. Chips and queso, beer and barbecue, and the auto show and boat show. January 25th to 29th at NRG Center. One ticket, two great shows. Climb Jeep Mountain, board your dream boat, get the kids hooked on fishing at the trout pond, and join Evolve on an EV test drive, including the Ford Lightning. See all the latest models at the Houston Automotive Show, January 25th to 29th. Beat the line and buy online at automotiveshow.com.
Your friends and hosts of the quarterly Tailpipes and Tacos Cruise in at the Loopy Tortilla and Katie want to thank you for your participation in last year's events and look forward to more in 2023. You'll hear about them all right here and online soon. Next time you're in the West Houston Energy Corridor area, be sure and stop in at the original Loopy Tortilla Tex-Mex near I-10 and Highway 6 or at the Katy location on the Grand Parkway at Kingsland Boulevard. In Beaumont or College Station, you'll want to stop in and have Loopy's award-winning beef fajitas and frozen margaritas. There's always a celebration at Loopy Tortilla. Loopy founder Stan Holt and his wife Sheila are car people through and through. Both are winning racers on the NHRA drag racing circuit and have a collection of hot rods and classics that everyone appreciates. You'll see them at the next Tailpipes and Tacos Cruise in the spring at the Loopy Tortilla Tex-Mex on 99 the Grand Parkway and Kingsland Boulevard, just south of I-10 and Katy. We'll give you all the details soon right here on the In Wheel Time Car Talk Show and online. The award-winning In Wheel Time Car Talk Show is available on the most popular podcast channels out there in 30-minute episodes. We realize our 3-hour live show can be difficult to catch in its entirety, so now you can listen every day to a convenient, fresh 30-minute episode. Check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and Audible, along with a dozen more. In Wheel Time has the most informative automotive guest interviews and new car reviews, along with popular features including Conrad's Car Clinic and This Week in Auto History, along with automotive news headlines. Our live broadcast airs every Saturday, 8 to 11 Central, on InWheelTime.com, the iHeart app, and on YouTube. Be sure to say hello when we're broadcasting from the Tailpipes and Tacos Cruise Inn, Autorama, and the Houston Auto Show, among others. Now, it's easier than ever to hear about all things automotive all week long. You're invited to join fellow car enthusiasts in becoming part of the ever-growing In Wheel Time Car Talk family. Don't forget those 30-minute podcast episodes on your favorite podcast channel. Well, that's a wrap for this week's In Wheel Time Car Talk Show. When you're online, hey, be sure and check out our Facebook page. Give us a like, tell your friends about us, and share our junk if you would, please. You'll get Conrad's Unicorn Hunting features, along with all things automotive all week long, including new car reviews, upcoming events, cruise-ins, racing events, and other informative and entertaining goodies.
That's what I look forward to.
You can find the In Wheel Time Car Talk Show 24/7 on the iHeartRadio app. Be sure and catch In Wheel Time Car Talk on our live video stream on Facebook, YouTube, and InWheelTime.com every Saturday, 8 to 11, except for next Saturday. Daily 30-minute podcasts are available from over a dozen of our most popular podcast providers. Next Saturday's live Houston Auto Show remote broadcast will air 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. The In Wheel Time chief engineer is David Ainsley. Our marketing and advertising manager and video technical director is We Need More, Jeff Seekin. For booking agent and podcast manipulator, Mike Mars, and Mr. Know-It-All, his royalty, King Conrad DeLong, I'm Don Armstrong. Again, be sure and check us out next Saturday, live, 3 hours, in-wheel time car talk Saturday, January 28th at a special time, 10 to 1 Central Time on all of our in-wheel time car talk outlets. Have a great weekend. Stay safe, and we'll see you next week.
That's it for this podcast episode of the In Wheel Time Car Show. I'm Don Armstrong, inviting you to join us for our live show every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Central on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and our InWheelTime.com website. Podcasts are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeart Podcast, Podcast Addict, TuneIn, Pandora, and Amazon Music. Keep listening, and we'll see you soon.